I've learnt to know that he knows best. In the book of Peter, in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter talks to the early church and says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul and live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." Now, just for a little bit, I'm going to talk to you about computers now. And there's a couple of things that I don't want you to get hung up on. First of all, if you computers make you immediately want to go to sleep, it's not going to be like that, okay? Secondly, if you're really interested in computers and you think that means I am, I don't want you to make that mistake either. And thirdly, and especially if you listen to these analogies and think that because you know so much about computers, you can explain to me why the analogy isn't perfect, you'll be mistaking me for someone who's interested. So I wonder, are you Windows? Are you Mac? Or are you Linux? Or do you know? Are you mainstream? Are you cool? Or are you nerdy when it comes to computer choice? Windows, you can have 95, 98, 2000, XP, Vista, 7. They're a bit confused about their labeling, aren't they? Apple, from the early numbers to Leopards and Tigers and Panthers, because they're cool. Linux is things like Penguin 4.3, Wombat 9.5. They're a bit strange, people who run Linux operating systems. Ferret 12, things like that. People choose the systems that suit them best, which will largely determine the programs they run. And mostly they'll do this on recommendations or on ads, what looks best, what makes them want it to. Now, there's lots of things that can stuff up your operating system, make it run slower or crash or not function as it was designed to do. Dodgy programs, viruses, junk, attacks through the network. And there are various solutions to those problems, like removing programs, spyware, firewalls, junk cleaning. Not on Macs, of course. You don't need any of that if you own a Mac. No rebuttals. Excellent. So when the computer isn't functioning properly, we tend to begin by looking in certain areas. You know it was working well and fast and smoothly. There was a stable operating system. You look for the most recent changes you've made, the things you've done, the warnings, the new program, the link to the website that made your computer shut down, little hints like that. I just want to read those verses again from another translation. "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives." You see, we were designed by God. We were designed in his image. And before we came to faith, it was like we were running on the world's operating system, which is updated regularly. Currently, it's running World 2010 with regional variations. It's a system that affects our thoughts and our beliefs and the way we understand everything. It gives us a framework for doing life. It changes according to the culture we live in. We are not designed for it. So it never really meshes with us properly. But we're told we just need to try this or try that, and then it will. We're told about new programs. We're told about new upgrades and new updates. Now, when we come to faith, it's like getting a totally new operating system. It doesn't have a number, by the way. It's kingdom everlasting. It doesn't need a number. It's the operating system we were designed for. So when we run it properly, moving from world 22 to kingdom everlasting is like the difference between night and day. It's like the difference between black and white and color. It's like the difference between dial-up and broadband. The trouble is that for many people, that is not their experience of the kingdom of God. They get discouraged, they get disillusioned, and they want their money back. Others look on, and just looking at them, they get discouraged and disillusioned, and they never want to pay out the money in the first place. So some folk are saying, I'm running with this new operating system, and it doesn't work as advertised. But the truth is that there will always be a reason if our system is running slow. Because the kingdom everlasting operating system is perfect. It is flawless. And knowing that can totally change our mindset. It needs to change our mindset. Because if we don't believe that the kingdom operating system is perfect, then we're missing out. And we haven't experienced it. There are lots of reasons why the kingdom operating system runs slow. Sometimes it's because it's about running a dual operating system instead of a clean install. And it never works. In Galatians 5 verse 16 we read this, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so you don't do what you want to do." So we get introduced to Jesus as our Savior, but we never understand what it is to have him as our Lord. We end up placing our will on the same level or on a higher level than his will. And his kingdom comes where his will is done. You can read that in the Bible. It's the prayer that Jesus asked us to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Inextricably linked. The kingdom everlasting operating system comes where his will is done. A dual operating system doesn't work. There are viruses too, aren't there? The Message version of John 10:10 is this: thieves only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they can have real eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More and better. Demonic affliction, lies that we believe about God and ourselves, niggle away at the system. They slow it down, they spoil it, they hijack it. And Jesus' truth and resurrection power is needed to heal and restore so that the kingdom operating system can live, work as it's designed to. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And by that he meant everything has been done. Everything has been done. There is no sin that we cannot be forgiven for. There is no hurt that Jesus can't heal. There is no nasty demonic entity that is not subject to Jesus' authority with a word from Jesus. So when he says it's finished, he means it's finished. And if in your mind now there is anything occurring that thinks, but not that, you're absolutely wrong. Because it's finished. It's over. It's complete. He has done everything, and we can enter into it. There are programs that aren't actually designed for the new operating system, which we try to run. Galatians 5:24, the Message version, among those who belong to Christ, everything connected with getting our own way and mindlessly responding to what everyone else calls necessities is killed off for good. It's crucified. Our taste for stuff that competes with knowing God, giving in to another definition of need rather than being led by the Holy Spirit, stuffs up the system, slows down the system. What about junk? But the worries of this life, Jesus says, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Don't just put it in the junk. Don't just put it in the recycling where you can always press the restore button. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Clean the system out. Every week, every day, clean the system out. Get rid of the junk. Then there are hackers, aren't there? Always trying to get into the system. Always trying to niggle away at faith. Always trying to niggle away at truth. In Ephesians 6, when we're told about the armor, we're told to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Firewall. It's a firewall. It's the faith firewall. Does it say there which flaming arrows can be extinguished? Does it mention which ones? All. All the flaming arrows. Some people are just always going on about the flaming arrows. And the arrows get bigger and bigger and the shield gets smaller and smaller. All the flaming arrows. Every single flaming arrow can be put out. And so when you're attacked by doubt, when you're attacked by lies, go, it's only a flaming arrow. And put it out with faith. The devil gets too big and God gets too small. It's all about alls and everythings and completes with God and with Jesus. There's no room for that stuff. We don't need to focus on the various threats and how dangerous they are. We have the perfect firewall of faith. So one of the challenges for us is to clean out the system. When it comes to the world, don't love it. When it comes to the flesh, put it to death. When it comes to the devil, resist or get rid of. It's easy as. It is. And we have slowly made it more and more complicated. And there have been more and more books written about it and about all the things we need to do. World, don't love it. Flesh, put it to death. Devil, resist, get rid of. Sometimes we try to get rid of really what we need to put to death. Sometimes we try to cast out when we just need to stop it. Sometimes we try to get rid of what we just need to stop loving. That's good stuff to remember. All of this is good stuff to remember, part of the everyday maintenance of the kingdom operating system. There's no need for fear. There's no need for navel-gazing. Because, and this is the bit. This is the bit which, if you've been bored so far, you really need to listen to. And if you've been interested in, it's going to be even better. Because we're constantly in line for upgrades. And upgrades is what it's all about. We've lived in a culture often in the Christian church about hanging on to what we've got desperately. When God's got upgrades. Left and right and center. I heard that someone today got an upgrade Anyone want to acknowledge they've had an upgrade today? Would you like to kind of be excited about that? Pardon? I'm looking at you. You got an upgrade, didn't you? Sorry? No, but that's because you're so excited, isn't it? Yeah. There was an upgrade there. There may be others. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, New Living Translation. As we get to know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. What do you think about that for a verse? I mean, what a verse. As we get to know Jesus better, which we can. So there's your starter for 10. Absolutely amazing. We can get to know Jesus better. And as we do that, his divine power gives us a few of the things we need. Everything. There it is again. All, everything. For living a godly life. And then it goes on to say he's called us to receive his own glory. We get the glory of Jesus. We get to receive the glory of Jesus and his goodness. Other systems offer us updates and tempt us into upgrades at huge cost. Staying on track with World 2011, which is probably already on offer before we've got there, the Australian edition promises much and delivers little again. Takes up more and more of our resources. Kingdom everlasting, all we need to do is stay online and stay connected. Could God make it any easier? It's almost as if he thinks we're a bit thick. I wonder where he gets that idea from. Kingdom everlasting, all we need to do is stay online and stay connected. It isn't about updates, it's about upgrades for life. And they're free. When you experience kingdom everlasting, clean install, running the right stuff, nothing else comes close. Nothing else compares. If at the moment, for you, the idea of World 2010 is more attractive and it seems to run better, then it's time to clear out the junk. It's time to put up the defenses. It's time to get rid of the rogue programs. But that's not difficult. You don't need to say to me, okay, I need to do that. I'll come back in a couple of months when I got it sorted out. Because Jesus said, it's finished. He's paid the price for everything that we need to do. We can do it right here, right now. Doesn't need to be a drama. But better still, if we get connected, and we stay connected. And if we let those connections bring those upgrades and security patches, if you're interested, of the fruit of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit, of an increase in faith, of an increase in wisdom, of an increase in discernment, of an increase in authority, then kingdom operating system will start to run as it was always designed to be. And you won't even be thinking about World 2010. You'll be going, you run that? But what's more like it, people will be going, what operating system are you running? Where did you get that? I like that operating system. Do you need a clean install tonight? Do you need to do some clearing out? Need to put up the faith firewall again? Have you just been reminded about staying connected to the network of intimacy, of presence, of love, of worship, from which the rest will follow? Now, we're going to worship in a moment. And for some of you, you can do that stuff. You just need to reconnect with God. For some of you, you just need to do a little bit of a clean out. And remember, it's not a drama. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have authority over the demonic. If we tell it to go, it goes. If there is healing that we need, it is available. You might really want someone to stand with you specifically in something, and that's great. But half the time, we just forget who we are in Jesus. And that's something that we can sort out right here, right now, because it's finished. But there's a bunch of people here this evening, and you've been running a dual operating system. Some of you have been running kind of half world and half kingdom, and it doesn't satisfy. And God is calling you back. And there's some who need to really have that sense of coming to faith for the first time tonight. You're going to be the first fruits of the 500. So I'd take that one if I was you. You can either do it tonight or you can be a little bit further down the queue. You might as well just say, hey, it was me. I was number one of the 500. How cool is that? So what I like to do, I just like everyone to be praying. And those who know that you've been running a dual operating system and you need to come back to the kingdom operating system, and those of you who know that you've never been sure that you've fully given your life wholeheartedly to Jesus and you need to do that, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Bless you. Okay, God's given me more than that. So we just need... There's specifically a couple of guys who you're feeling a little bit awkward at the moment, but you need to stand because God's on your case. And it'd be much easier for you if you did it now rather than faffing around for a few months. Come on, guys. Okay. Let's just pray. I just want to thank you that she's responded to you, and that is just a lovely thing. I want to ask right now, as she makes that response, that as she just gives herself wholeheartedly to you, to ask, Lord, that she would know right now your love and your forgiveness and your acceptance, and that right now that you touch her with that love and you touch her by your Spirit, and that she will be strengthened for the journey ahead. And Lord, that you would just pour out your favor and your blessing on her right now. And we thank you for her. In Jesus' name. Amen.